Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wow, absolutely incredible. About 1,000 people showed up in Kalispell, Montana for a big rally with Ben Shapiro and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. I've got audio of Ben Shapiro's remarks. I'll play just a portion of that here a little bit later in the show. But first, big story on our Montana Talks website right now. A Democrat Party operative was caught on camera tampering with an election ballot drop box in Glacier County, Montana, just 2 weeks before Election Day. I posted this story yesterday afternoon, shortly after seeing a video that was shared by Fox News. In a video posted Tuesday afternoon by Fox News, a person is seen tampering with a ballot drop box right here in Montana. At one point, it appears as though the individual is trying to tear the ballot box off the wall. The Glacier County Elections Office has ballot drop boxes in both Browning and Cutbank, Montana. So I reached out to the Montana Secretary of State's office concerning the video, and here is the response that we received from Richie Melby, the communications director for Secretary of State Christy Jacobson. Quote, the Glacier County Election Administrator contacted our office expressing serious concern over surveillance footage that appeared to show an individual tampering with a ballot box. And by the way, I've got her full email on the Montana Talks website right now if you want to see it for yourself as well. Melby added this, quote, our elections director contacted the election administrator who confirmed that the individual in the footage is a gentleman named Laszlo Gendler. The name of the suspect and details were turned over to Glacier County law enforcement. Our elections director was pleased that the individual was not able to remove the ballot box from the wall, although the activity was obviously highly suspicious and concerning. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. How did they know who this individual was in the video? Well, apparently the elections administrator knew exactly who this person was when they saw him on the video because he is a prominent Democrat Party operative who has been operating in Gallatin County for quite some time now. I did a quick internet search. Didn't take much work at all, frankly. And if you go to the opensecrets.org website, you can see that Laszlo Gendler has been paid as recently as this year by the Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee, which is an arm of the Democrat Party working to try to help liberal Senator John Tester in his reelection battle. So, yeah, here you go. A Democrat operative busted tampering with a ballot drop box right here in Montana. Less than 2 weeks to go till Election Day. We've got the phone lines open for you with Montana Talks. Phone lines open for the full hour.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I had a question a couple of days ago because I was wondering, with President Trump encouraging voters, encouraging his supporters to vote early, to get out there and vote early. And of course, there's several reasons why he is encouraging people to do that, even as somebody who doesn't like to do that himself. He said, look, if you get out and vote early, A, then you make sure that you get your vote in. You don't get, you know, stranded in a snowstorm, or if something else comes up on election day, you can't get in, or if there's chaos on election day, your vote's already there. That's one reason. Another reason is that once you get your vote in, you now save campaign resources that can be used to go after other votes, to get other voters to the polls, or to try to sway other voters in your direction, right? So it can help for a number of reasons. So I was wondering, I was interested, and I actually asked the Secretary of State's office. I said, hey, what are the early voting numbers looking like? I reached out to Richie Melby. He said, we're actually going to have a press release with those numbers coming here very soon. And that press release did come out, I think, yesterday afternoon, because I was hearing from some of our listeners. And I'll throw the question out to many of you again. How many of you are voting early for the first time ever? Or you've already voted, you've already delivered your ballot, and you voted early for the first time ever? Send me a message on the Montana Talks app, or, of course, you can call in right now because we got phone lines open at 406-294-0970. But, yeah, Montana Secretary of State Kristi Jacobson said that roughly 125,000 absentee ballots have already been received by election officials with 2 weeks remaining until Election Day. That's of about more than 500,000 ballots that were shipped out, that were sent out to voters for the 2024 general election. So it's about, you know, 25% of the absentee ballots that have already been returned. I thought those numbers were interesting. And it's not included in the press release, but I'll have to go back and see what Richie Melby shared with me. I believe these are the strongest early vote numbers ever. But let me double check that so I make sure I'm sharing the here we go. As for absentee returns, 2024 is ahead of 2022, 2018, and 2016. So this year is far better than all those previous years already. First up on the phone lines, let's go to Kurt in Billings. Kurt, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. You bet. I just wanted to comment on this logging industry versus the let it burn crowd. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, some personal experience I had out in the Washington area. My wife and I lived out there for about 10 years working for a large airplane manufacturer, which I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. But I used to bow hunt out there for elk. And one of my primary grounds I hunted was up in Weyerhaeuser property. And my understanding was Weyerhaeuser was the second largest landowner to the federal government. And what was neat is they would give everybody complete access to their property. And they would log it. And they never had out-of-control forest fires. And they burned every year because they would log a section, you know, so many thousand acres, and they would log it. The next year they'd come and burn it, burn all the slash, and then they'd replant saplings. And in about 20 years, they were logging that same chunk of land again. I mean, it was a crop. But the beauty about hunting it was is the forests were very clean. And the elk and the deer loved it because there was great undergrowth for the animals to eat. And as a hunter, as a human walking through it, you could get through it. And once in a while, I'd get off Weyerhaeuser and in the National Forest, and you could hardly move. It was so thick and deadfall everywhere. And you'd never find game in there because the game had the same problem. They couldn't get through it, and there's nothing to eat. But when you get on Weyerhaeuser land, it's, you know, beautiful country. There's a fair amount of game up there, and it's a privately owned company, and they're supplying jobs for the loggers, the truckers, you know, the lumber mill.
It just makes sense. So the point being is that timber projects, forest health projects, fuel reduction efforts, they make sense all around, and especially for hunters. Not only are you able to see the game a little bit better, but the game and the wildlife actually likes it better as well when we take better care of our forests. But the radical left, they just want to let it all go up in smoke every year and just let it burn. And they have these left-wing federal judges that were put on the bench by Democrats like John Tester and Max Baucus over the years that try to block those forest health projects, which are bad for clean air, they're bad for our forests, and they're bad for wildlife. And if they're bad for wildlife, they're bad for our hunters, right?
Yeah, hunters and the economy, you know. I mean, how many people did I run into that worked for them or worked, you know, in businesses that were related to that? And it's like, it just makes sense. And I say, I never saw forest fires on Weyerhaeuser land, and they own thousands of acres, and you never saw out-of-control fires. I mean, never.
It reminds me, I was tagging along. I didn't have a special antelope tag myself, but I was tagging along with some family members that did, and I remember, you know, you'd see the state land and then the private land, or the federal land and then the private land. And to me, the story you just shared there is another reminder that there is managed land, and then there is unmanaged land or even mismanaged land. And managed land is better for wildlife. It's better for forest health.
It's simple math. Tim Hortons 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
Your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I threw out the question. How many of you voted early? How many of you voted early for the first time even? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. Tom in Billings, he says, I voted early yesterday, and there were 108 people in front of me. So I handed out my business cards. Wow, Tom, there were 108. Were they standing in line, or was that how many people dropped off their ballots before you dropped off yours? 108 people in front of him, he says, when he voted early yesterday. Tom, thanks for that message. Bob in Columbus says, good morning, Aaron. Me and my wife filled out our ballots and delivered them and checked online. And yes, they received them. Best way to do it. Vote early. That's what Bob in Columbus says. And as Bob pointed out, yeah, you can go to the Montana Secretary of State's website and you can check to confirm that your absentee ballot was received. I did that last week myself, and my ballot was received as well. That is certainly reassuring. Let's go to Dwayne in Troy. Dwayne, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I have a little issue with what's going on in the Lincoln County election office. There's kind of the appearance of something going wrong there. I've got a message that I could read out, but it's fairly long. Do you want me to read that? I sent it to you earlier this week.
Yeah, I saw the messages. So what I think one of your concerns is that it was something about how they may not be offering, let's see, what is it? I'm forgetting the exact term for it. But basically, if people are serving as election judges or election watchers, that they're not going to offer overtime pay. So your concern is that they won't do a speedy account of the vote. Is that one of the concerns, if I remember right?
Well, my main concern is that there's a gal on the ballot, or a person on the ballot, let's put it that way, that is to keep from the election committee having overtime. She goes in and spells them off during for their lunch hour. And, you know, I'm not saying that there's corruption there, but she's on the ballot. It's illegal, according to there's Montana statutes against. She shouldn't even be, because she's not on the board, she shouldn't even be in the office, let alone in the office.
So, I see. That's right. So, yeah, there were two concerns. The other concern was that somebody might be alone with all of these ballots. And that there could be some potential there. Yeah. So I got your messages, and then I shared them with State Senator Mike Cuff, who is, of course, a state senator there in the Libby and Eureka areas. He also served on the Senate Special Committee that did that ballot overcount process in Butte, if you remember that. So he said, you know, they're looking into the details. He's not sure if an official complaint has been filed or not, but he said they're looking into the details on that just to check in to make sure everything is good to go. But I know he's had good things to say about that elections office in the past. But he said they are looking into it based off the messages that you shared with me. So, Dwayne, I appreciate it. Thanks for messaging us on the Montana Talks app, and thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Lots of callers on the phone lines here. Let's go next. Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron. Yeah, just wanted to mention our friend Kevin Red Star had knee replacement surgery, but he's recovering, you know, pretty well. And Kevin was one of a group of about 32 nationally known artists who right now are having a show exhibit at the Bozeman Art Museum. And 40% of the proceeds of the sale of the art is going to benefit the Bozeman Art Museum. We desperately need, we've got great artists all over the area, desperately need a good art museum. So if you're out there and you want to see some work that is typically not shown in this area or want to see some great Western art, go buy a piece of art at the Bozeman Art Museum. This sale continues through December 13th.
Good. So, yeah, I was going to say, because I'm going to be in Bozeman. Well, we'll see. We got a football game in Belgrade Friday, but I may not have time to go this Friday. But Riley Gaines is going to be at the...
Aaron.
What's that?
Call me, Aaron. I'll take you over there. Yeah, there's some fabulous, fabulous art over there. And one other thing I wanted to mention real quickly. It's so comical, you know, that Trump showed up at McDonald's. And AOC, who's a moron, has to say, gee, that was staged. Do you really think so? Or do you think he filled out an application and is now working at McDonald's? I mean, these people, they talk to their Democrats and liberals, talk to their acolytes like they're morons, because you know what? Most of them are morons.
Yeah, that was so funny. John Jackson brought that up yesterday as well. Like, wait, you're surprised? You thought that Donald Trump was actually working for McDonald's now? The one thing I want to do, I want to get it on our Montana Talks website later today. So I jumped on Facebook the other day and I said, all right, everybody, send me your best Donald Trump McDonald's memes. And so I'm going to share that on our Montana Talks website, share some of your best memes here later today, because, you know, you got to be able to have fun, even in crazy, or especially during crazy times like this. Well, Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, I'd love to go see that exhibit there at the Art Museum in Bozeman. That just sounds incredible, especially to get to see Kevin Red Star and his work. I got to actually, Tom took me. We were doing an event at the Roberts Cafe, and Tom drove through from Bozeman, and Kevin Red Star himself, this legendary Crow artist, they came and saw us at Roberts Cafe, and then we walked down the street, and I got to see his, you know, where he works, his studio, his working studio's there. And now Kevin Red Star has a big gallery that opened up in Red Lodge, but I've got a print of one of his paintings, The Night of the First Americans. I've got it hanging up in our Montana Talk studios here. And, of course, that was, I think, presented at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., back on March 4th of 1982. And it's such an incredible patriotic painting with this Crow warrior carrying the American flag on horseback. Tom, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Who do we got next? We've got Brandon in Kalispell. Let's go, Brandon. Good to hear from you.
morning, Aaron.
Yeah, morning. What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to let everybody know that it's a good day to get out and vote early. Did it yesterday, and the lines are pretty full. That was encouraging.
That's interesting. So you voted early and dropped your ballot off, or did you just go get the ballot, fill it out right then and there, and return it right then and there?
Well, I actually had a slight issue as viewing through the portal through the Secretary of State, and so I went in to get that corrected and was able to just vote early. But I was seeing a lot of people in line, and people are in good moods. I'm really encouraged about what's going to happen this election cycle.
Wow. So there were a lot of people in line. A lot of people in line voting early, and they seemed happy. They seemed excited. They're joyful for, I imagine, some changes they'd like to see this November, huh?
That's what I saw. I think people are expecting change, and we need it.
Well, it was amazing.
So I just wanted to call in and encourage everybody to get out there. It's important. This is my first time voting early ever, and I'm 50 years old.
Well, and as you pointed out, what if you have an issue? Do you want to be stuck waiting in line for several hours on election day? And then what if there's an issue? What if there's a snowstorm? You go in, you get the job done early, or if there's an issue, you can rectify that issue right now and still make sure you get your vote in. Yeah, that's why I think it's so important that people do as you've done. And you're a first-time early voter. There we go. There's another example of it. Brandon, thanks for the call. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say, even though the lines were long, they moved fast, and I was just really encouraged with how I saw the Flathead Valley handling the onslaught of pre-election chaos. Things were moving quick, and people were getting through, and it just was. I don't know. I expected it to be more chaotic.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't. And I applaud our people on the ground doing all the good work. Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter.
Get the job done. All right. Great message. Great to hear from you, Brandon. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah. I was also going to ask, how many of you in Kalispell, that's where Brandon called in from, how many of you went to the Ben Shapiro, Tim Sheehy rally yesterday? About 1,000 people showed up. That is crazy. Big turnout 2 weeks before the election. Let's go to Jason and Bozeman next up. Jason, what's going on?
Yeah, hey. We got a housing crisis here in Bozeman, and I'm going to give the city council something to think about for trying to make it illegal to be homeless, basically. They're threatening fines and criminal fines. But if you look at Bozeman, you come down here, anybody can come down here, there's hundreds of huge buildings going up right now. Big, tall, huge buildings, 4-story, 100 apartment buildings going up everywhere. And if you go to all these job sites, it's all Mexican people on the job sites, okay? And I'm not a racist, but I'm going to tell you what. All these, where do you think all these people are being housed? They're on these job sites that are from Mexico. They're being housed in all the apartments that should go to college students, that should go to the locals that are actually trying to stay here. They're not putting all these people up in hotels. I'm not doing that.
All right. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, Jason. We got to take a hard break. More to follow right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is very frustrated over the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee recommendations released yesterday. In particular, cattle producers are alarmed by the committee's recommendations to replace high-quality proteins like beef with a plant-based diet. NCBA's Ethan Lane.
They made recommendations that essentially instruct Americans to return to a previous type of eating focused on beans and lentils and things like that, that much of the third world is actively trying to rise out of at this point and seeking ways to afford more high quality, nutritious animal protein like we enjoy in the United States. This is an absolutely out of touch process that does nothing to serve Americans at this point.
Lane added that the committee's recommendation to cut red meat further marginalizes the 80% of Americans who eat meat.
It's extremely disappointing, and we're hopeful that Secretary of Agriculture and others will see the error of this process and take action to try to get it back on course so that it can produce some kind of a result that actually helps Americans understand how important it is to have animal protein like beef in a healthy diet in order to make sure you're getting those nutritional needs that are so important at every stage of life.
Ethan Lane said NCBA will continue to be involved and be a voice for producers in the countryside on the issue. I'm Lane Northblom.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I've got audio of Ben Shapiro rallying about 1,000 people alongside Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy in Kalispell yesterday. Massive turnout on a Tuesday afternoon. And Kalispell isn't even the largest, if you want to call it, city in Montana either. David Noble, I was chatting with David Noble earlier, and he asked a good question. He said, do you think... was it because Ben Shapiro was there? Do you think, was it kind of the celebrity draw of a Ben Shapiro that drew 1,000 people to this rally for Tim Sheehy in Kalispell? And I'm like, well, you could argue that. But Tim Sheehy just had, he had a Mississippi senator, Cindy Hyde-Smith, and sounds like a great woman, great, sounds like she's a great senator, but, you know, she's certainly not a celebrity. Tim Sheehy and Cindy Hyde-Smith, they had like 600-700 people at the public auction yards at Pays in Billings Monday night. So, yeah, Ben Shapiro, big draw, but he didn't have Ben Shapiro Monday night and still had a big draw in Billings, Montana. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on out there, the support. Got some messages on our Montana Talks app here. Let's see. Kat in Sydney sent us her favorite McDonald's Trump meme, and it's a clump of McDonald's fries shaped like Donald Trump's profile, with the fries are all wavy like Donald Trump's wavy golden hair. That one's hilarious. He calls himself Conservative Ken from Great Falls. It's Conservative Ken from Great Falls here. Even if you don't have a mail-in ballot, you can walk into the clerk of courts and request one. Fill out the form and vote at the same time. That's what I did yesterday in Teton County. I guess he actually lives in Power. That's what he says. That's what he did in Teton County. Tiffany and Hungry Horse, this is the first time I did not vote in person. I just dropped mine off. So this is Tiffany and Hungry Horse. This is her first time voting early. Let's see. What else? A listener in Highwood. I voted early for many reasons. But the main reason is we've had family emergencies, we've had deaths this time of year for the past 3 years. I didn't want to take a chance this year. And so as that listener in Highwood tells us, that's how important these November elections are. A listener in Grass Range, Montana says, I travel around central Montana a lot. I have yet to see a tester yard sign and a Trump yard sign in the same yard. So hasn't seen a yard that has both a tester sign and a Trump sign in the same yard. I'll bet you've seen a lot of Tim Sheehy and Trump signs in the same yard though, right? So anyway, the listener in Grass Range says, not sure about the fake ads I hear where they're claiming that they're voting for Trump and tester. Yeah, I think that's just fake spin. It just shows how desperate they are. coming from, you know, John Tester, who voted to impeach Donald J. Trump twice, who talked about punching Trump in the face. Let's go to Eric in Winifred next up on the phone lines. Eric, what's going on? What's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron. How you doing? I just wanted to call in and tell you about this Fox News story that I just read. And it came out 2 hours ago, basically about CI 126 and 127, but it's a larger article than that because the same initiatives are on the ballot in six states.
And oh, yeah.
What shocked me was they came out, whoever they were interviewing for this Unite America, who's sponsoring all this, actually came out and said the quiet part. And I'll even quote it here. According to advocates of the proposal who say it will eliminate polarizing and extreme candidates from making it onto the ballot. So the other side gets to determine, you know, and this applies to both sides. I mean, Republicans can go vote on a Democrat primary if they want, but the point is to get rid of polarizing and extreme candidates from the ballot. Kind of regardless of what the party wants,
which of course is anybody with common sense, right? You know, these are the same people that want to remove our great attorney general. They wanted to remove his name from the ballot. They wanted to remove Donald Trump's name from the ballot. So they're making it they're basically saying the quiet part out loud, that CI 126 and CI 127 are straight up about interfering in our elections and trying to come up with some shenanigan process to prevent the voice of Montanans from being heard and in their elected officials.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What amazes me is, I mean, the way we've been doing it has been good for 100 years. I'm trying to figure out why it's bad now. So,
good point.
That's
by the way, Eric, were you the guy from Winifred that messaged us on the Montana Talks app and told us that you were hearing John Tester campaign commercials en español?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they run constantly.
Really?
And they are in 100% Spanish. And the question I asked was, why are you running campaign ads in Spanish? Because to become a citizen, you're supposed to have a certain proficiency in English. And I understand, you know, if you want to try to reach somebody in their native language, fine, you know. But I don't think that's the purpose.
It makes sense why John Tester would have Spanish language campaign commercials. I haven't seen or heard them myself. So if you see one, try to record it for us if you can. But it would make sense. I mean, John Tester is responsible for the open borders. We've got Mexican drug cartel operatives on our reservations targeting Native American women. And now they're being targeted by John Tester for their votes. The cartels are in Spanish, apparently. Like I say, I haven't heard those ads myself, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, John Tester is allowing the illegal aliens to flood into the state, to flood into the country. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was going to ask for their vote in their language. Eric, great to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And Winifred, we'll get back to your phone calls here in just a second. 406-294-0970. It's a little hard to hear Ben Shapiro at first, but once the crowd settles down, you can hear his remarks a little bit easier. Ben Shapiro at the rally for Tim Sheehy yesterday in Kalispell. Travis, watch the red button. Hopefully I cue it up in the right spot here, because he starts off by saying, look, let's face it. Things have been kind of, well, Adam Schiffy. They've been kind of Schiffy in America, right?
So... A possible Harris administration would, of course, be a disaster for a thousand reasons. A Harris administration, with not permitted a Democratic Senate, would be a cataclysmic disaster on a whole different scale. She has already vowed that she would kill the filibuster if she were given that opportunity. She would then stack the Senate with a couple of extra states that would presumably add four Democratic senators. She would stack the Supreme Court. She would change the voting rules. She would actually fundamentally restructure how government is run in the United States. That's aside from all the terrible foreign and domestic policy that she would then pursue. But, you know, one of the reasons that I'm out campaigning, this is something I've never done before, by the way. I've literally never taken part in political campaigns. This is the first year in my entire career. because what's at stake is not just slight differences in the marginal tax rate. What's at stake here is not merely the trajectory of spending, which unfortunately has been not great under both parties. What's at stake here are fundamental values, fundamental American values. There is a civilizational battle going on. And it's not just a civilizational battle that's going on inside the state of Montana, or even just in the United States. It's a Western civilization-wide battle that is going on right now. And this election is part of that battle. And I'm going to spell out the consequences of that battle and the stakes of that battle. Because politics is all the stuff that we do on the surface. Values, that's the stuff that's the base of the iceberg. That's the stuff that actually life is made of. And politics is just a manifestation of those values. So what are the competing sets of values that we're talking about here? Well, the values that built this country, the values of the people of Montana, the values of the people of America, have always been what I call lion values. L-I-O-N. Like the value of a lion. And that really breaks down into values like you take care of your community. You have a duty to your family. These duties have been inherited from your ancestors and you owe them to your children. Right? You have a duty to go to church, be part of your community. You have a duty to go out and earn. You have a duty to build. And what that means is that Americans have manifested these values in three main ways. One, as innovators and providers and entrepreneurs and pioneers. Right? As people.
And then he talks about people who go out and hunt, people who cross mountains to get food and to bring food home. And then he talks about the warriors, the people who are out there on the front lines, the police, the firefighters, our soldiers, people like Tim Sheehy, actively on the front lines defending this country and our civilization. Great remarks by Ben Shapiro. Back to your phone calls right after this.
Candidates Committee, www.americancrossroads.org.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Survey says, so earlier this morning I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a little poll. I'm going to do a little survey. Who would you rather have on your team? You got to pick one. You got to pick. Who would you rather have on your team? Tulsi Gabbard or Liz Cheney? Well, the survey says 96% of the people who voted in this poll that I conducted via X earlier this morning that just wrapped up about 20 minutes ago, 96% would rather have Tulsi Gabbard on their team than Liz Cheney. Only 4% said they would rather have Liz Cheney on their team than Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know if you guys heard, but Tulsi Gabbard officially switched teams. The former Democrat member of Congress and fellow Iraq War veteran Tulsi Gabbard officially switched to the Republican Party yesterday. And Liz Cheney, well, there she is campaigning with Kamala Harris. I mean, big surprise there, right? You can keep the warmonger. You can keep the warmonger. Oh, man, just hysterical. Some of this stuff that's going on right now. Let's go to Frank in Evergreen next up on the phone lines. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, the McDonald's restaurant in Scotland. Now, 4 years ago, I remember finding an article about this old, several hundred-year-old restaurant that served their own hamburgers. And, of course, they got sued by the corporate McDonald's for using their name. But a McDonald's loss because this guy was the head of the McDonald's clan. And that didn't go over too well, but maybe, perhaps, when Kamala was doing her legal practices as a lawyer, that's how she worked, is trying to sue McDonald's. You know, so.
Well, did you see, I think it was the Daily Wire or somebody, they said now, like some of these Democrats are trying to go after McDonald's and try to go after some of these franchise owners because Donald Trump served some French fries the other day. I mean, they just want to take every political prisoner they possibly can. You know, peaceful pro-life protesters, throw you in jail. you know, the Catholics, they want to spy on Catholics. Heck, Joe Biden just publicly admitted that he wants to make Donald J. Trump an official political prisoner as well.
I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up. Political document.
And then he tried to add, well, politically speaking, yeah, the Soviets put political prisoners behind bars too, Joe, for those of us that know our history. All right, next up on the phone lines, Sean in Bozeman. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Trying to be quick about this, and we're running out of time here. So, first, I definitely agree with you guys from your earlier point. I absolutely hate the idea of having to vote early. I like the idea of an election day. That's the way our system is set up, an election day. But I don't think we have any choice. So if we want to win, we have to kind of bend what we're accustomed to. And although I did it reluctantly at age 52 for the first time, I voted early the other day. And I'm glad I did it. And similar to your earlier caller, it seemed like everybody was in good spirits. It was long lines. It was great. I'm hoping the results are what I hope. But anyways, my point, the reason I'm calling is, every year at this time of year, after the election, days after, I always struggle to find a good source for local election results. Is there somewhere we can go online or somewhere where we can look at all the different seats that were up and see who won and who didn't?
Well, yeah. Well, first off, we're going to be right here with Montana Talks, and I'll be monitoring the election results. Yeah, but no, the easiest thing you can do, you can even do this starting at 8 p.m. on election night. The Montana Secretary of State's office, you can track election results. And what's really cool is you can go in and you can, you know, check a box next to the races that you want to follow. So, like, you're going to want to follow the Senate race. You're going to want to follow the Supreme Court elections. If you're in Bozeman, you're going to want to follow your legislative races, right? And then maybe there's a judge race. You can check a box next to those races you want to follow. And then when you go back and check the results as more vote totals come in, you can get the results just for what's called my tracked contest. And then the next morning when you wake up, you can go back in again and get the latest. So that is the best source. That's what I know I will be looking at that Tuesday night. And then 2 weeks from today, the Wednesday after Election Day, to get the latest election results as well. So great. Yeah, it's a great resource. Eric Albus, a candidate for House District 28. Sorry we ran out of time, but give us a call tomorrow earlier.